My message is on the loyalty of Jonathan. I know everyone's got different people that they see in the Bible that they enjoy. There's always good examples and bad examples. And you can find that all throughout the Bible. Jonathan, I think, is one of those unsung heroes of the Bible. You know, everyone thinks of, like, David and how he was a musician. And I think David was a pretty cool guy. And you think of, some of the kings, like King Josiah. Josiah was pretty cool, too. But I think, I don't think David would have been the same guy if it wasn't for Jonathan. Jonathan was kind of like the background guy, but I think he was just a really cool person to have as a friend. He was someone who was extremely loyal to the end, and I think that he is one of the best examples of loyalty in the Bible. I mean, I like to go through his life, some of the things that he did, and how we can become more loyal for ourselves, and see the lessons that we can learn from Jonathan, see the kind of man that he was, see the kind of friend that he was to David, and try to turn that into our lives. So first off, who was this man? Obviously, the Bible doesn't tell us everything about Jonathan. The one thing I wish that the Bible had more of was more dialogue about some of the characters, because you get into like a little bit about who they are, like even David. There's a lot about David, and even like Abraham. These are probably some of the two characters in the Bible there's the most scriptures about, even Moses. But you don't really get to see the small things about the person. It's always the little things about a person that makes them who they are, you know, the everyday things that they do. And the Bible doesn't always have that, but thankfully it does have some of the main things. So Jonathan, first instance I'd like to talk about, is actually, I think it's one of the first times that he's mentioned in the Bible, is in 1 Samuel 13. We're going to look at 1 Samuel 14, but doing a little background. In 1 Samuel 13, we have in that chapter King Saul, Jonathan, and 4,000 soldiers decided to attack the Philistines. The Israelites and the Philistines were constantly at war. It kind of reminds me of nowadays. Things don't really have changed a whole lot. So Israel did a preemptive attack. They attacked the Philistines first. The Philistines, in turn, countered by sending 36,000 troops with soldiers and chariots and different armaments to the battle. Now, because of this, the Israelite army became afraid and fled into the caves and mountains, and only 600 men, including Jonathan and King Saul, were left. Now, you can imagine the odds. So you've got 4,000 men coming to attack, and they have 36,000 people coming after them. That's a 1-9 odds. I mean, that's not very good odds if you're in an army, which is why a lot of them fled. They were afraid. After this, this is also the incident whenever Saul offered those the sacrifices before Samuel got there. Afterwards, spoilers came and actually took away the soldiers' weapons. And there are also no more weaponsmiths in the land as well. I think the Philistines had kind of gotten rid of them so that they wouldn't be able to recoup their weapons. So here's the situation they are in. You've got King Saul, you've got Jonathan. They're the only ones who have weapons. No one else has weapons. There's only 600 men without weapons, and they're supposed to attack an army of 36,000 soldiers. Pretty bleak situation. It's kind of hard to fight any kind of war without some sort of weaponry. Now, in this situation, just understanding the gravity of what it is, I mean, there basically was no escape for them. They either had to fight or they were going to die because the armies had surrounded them. They needed to attack, otherwise they would never have gotten out of this. 1 Samuel 14, verse 1, shows what Jonathan did. Jonathan was one that kind of saw something needed to be done and just did it. It says in 1 Samuel 14, verse 1, "Now it came to pass upon a day that Jonathan, the son of Saul, said unto the young man that bare his armor, Come, and let us go over to the Philistines' garrison that is on the other side. But he told not his father." And then continuing on to 1 Samuel 14, verse 6 to 10. "And Jonathan said to the young man that bare his armor, Come, and let us go over unto the garrison of these uncircumcised. It may be that Yahweh will work for us, for there is no restraint to Yahweh to save by many or by few. And his armor bearer said unto him, Do all that is in thine heart. Turn thee, behold, I am with thee according to thy heart. Then said Jonathan, Behold, we will pass over unto these men, and we will discover ourselves unto them. If they say thus unto us, Tarry until we come to you, then we will stand still in our place. We will not go up, and will not go up unto them. But if they say thus, Come up unto us, then we will go up, for Yahweh hath delivered them into our hand, and this shall be a sign unto us. Something to note about this situation is Jonathan didn't seek to do this for his own glory. He wasn't going up to attack the Philistines because he wanted some sort of status. He was already the son of the king. He wasn't doing it to impress anybody. He basically told his armor bearer that let's go up and let's see what we can do. So him and his armor bearer snuck off to see the situation. And it was really about bringing glory to Yahweh. It wasn't, in this whole passage, you can see no signs of him seeking glory for himself. He saw a need that needed to be done. He knew that they needed to get out of this horrible situation. And he trusted in Yahweh rather than numbers. 1 Samuel 14, verse 11 to 14 shows what happened after they decided to take action. It says, And both of them discovered themselves unto the garrison of the Philistines. And the Philistines said, Behold, the Hebrews come forth out of the holes where they had hid themselves. So they're kind of mocking them. And the men of the garrison answered Jonathan and his armor bearer and said, Come up to us, and we will show you a thing. So they really are kind of laying it on thick with saying, come on, it's only two of you. You think you can actually do something against us? And Jonathan said unto his armor bearer, Come up after me, for Yahweh hath delivered them into the hand of Israel. And Jonathan climbed up upon his hands and upon his feet, and his armor bearer after him, and they fell before Jonathan. And his armor bearer slew after him, and that first slaughter which Jonathan and his armor bearer made was about 20 men. So they fought, and Yahweh gave them the victory. And afterwards, it happened here, the Israelite army found out what had happened, and it kind of rallied them. It kind of gave them a rallying cry to fight back. Obviously, they probably had to take the Philistines' weapons off of them after they had fallen, just so they could actually have some weapons. But it all became, the situation came about because Jonathan sought action. He cared about what was about what was right. And that's a very important thing about being loyal. You can't be loyal to something unless you know what you're supposed to be loyal to. It's actually such an interesting dichotomy between Jonathan and King Saul, because King Saul was very much about pleasing the crowd or the people, or he didn't really have a set guidelines of what he wanted to do things. He was very wishy-washy in his thinking, and Yahweh does not like that. And James 1, it talks about not having a double mind. Yahweh doesn't want to have a double-minded person. He wants someone who is straight and narrow, someone who knows exactly what they're supposed to do. And this is important to being loyal, because how can you be loyal unless you know what you're supposed to be loyal to? It's like the saying, if you stand for nothing, you'll fall for anything. So Jonathan knew the standard that he needed to live by, and he knew that loyalty to Yahweh must come first, loyalty to a standard, loyalty to something that you have to do. So Jonathan knew this, and he acted upon it. He knew that this is what needed to be done. He knew that this was right, and that's why he did it. He didn't look to see what his father was doing, what everybody else was doing. He looked at what was supposed to be done, and he acted upon it. And that's a great example of who he was. This is the kind of man he was. Now, I'd like to look at two examples of his loyalty. One was to David, and two was to his father. I'd like to look at 1 Samuel 20. But before I do, I'd like to give a little bit of background. So King Saul had done wrong against Yahweh. This is kind of like leading up to what's going to happen. So King Saul did wrong against Yahweh. He didn't kill the Amalekites as he had been asked, and he'd also offered sacrifice, or he'd offered a sacrifice to Yahweh instead of waiting for Samuel. Because of these two actions, Yahweh sought another king. So he looked for, he actually got David to be anointed as the king. And afterwards, in 1 Samuel 17, you find the incidents of David and Goliath, and David defeating him. Afterwards, Jonathan and David became friends, And Jonathan actually went to the point of actually giving him his royal garments and his weapons, which is kind of a sign of giving him his position. It's almost like relinquishing his authority and giving it to him. Jonathan would have been the next in line for kingship, you know, because he was King Saul's son, so obviously he would have been the next in line. But Jonathan cared more about his friend than his position. After the David and Goliath incident, Saul decided to bring David into his army, and the trouble started in 1 Samuel 18, verse 6 to 7, and says, This is after they had gone to a battle, and it came to pass, I spelled pass wrong, when David was returned from the slaughter of the Philistines, that the women came out of all the cities of Israel singing and dancing to meet King Saul, with tabrets with joy and with instruments of music. And the women answered one another as they played and said, Saul hath slayed his thousands and David his 10,000s. Now, if Saul would have been rational, he would have thought, okay, well, the whole point is that, you know, the armies were defeated. But he became very jealous of David at this point. It was an attack upon his authority, upon his... It was basically, he wanted the glory for himself rather than the glory to be going to Yahweh. Because of his jealousy, he actually tried to kill David several times. He threw spears at him. It's very difficult for David and Saul's relationship because sometimes Saul would be kind and nice to him, and other times he would be throwing spears at him. I don't know about you, but it's kind of hard to have a friendship when they're constantly trying to throw spears at you. You know, you're just hanging out, and you just throw a spear at you. You know, it's like, what's up, man? So this was the challenge that David had with Saul. But Jonathan was not that way. He didn't follow what his father was doing. Jonathan stayed true to his friend. In 1 Samuel 20, verse 1 to 2, it says, now David was constantly fleeing from Saul because of this. And it says, and David fled from Naioth to Ramah and came and said before Jonathan, what have I done? What is mine iniquity? And what is my sin before thy father that he seeketh my life? He was pretty exasperated at this point. You know, he's wondering what has he done? What is his crime? You know, when you go before a court, you know, and you're being tried, you want to know why you're being tried. What is your crime? Why are you being held accountable for this action? And he said unto him, far be it, thou shalt not die. Behold, my father will do nothing, either great or small, but that he will show it to me. And why should my father hide this thing from me? It is not so. So Jonathan, after this point, was going to do some recon for David to see if it was safe for David. The new moon was coming up, and it appears in this setting that David was supposed to be there, some sort of, I don't know if it was a service or some sort of meal, but everyone was gathered together, and David was one of the ones that was expected to be there. So a plan was created by David and Jonathan in 1 Samuel 20, verse 12 to 13. And Jonathan said unto David, O Yahweh Elohim of Israel, when I have sounded my father about tomorrow, any time, or the third day, and behold, if there be good toward David, and then I send unto thee, and show it thee, Yahweh do so and much more to Jonathan. But if it please my father to do thee evil, then I will show it thee, and send thee away. Thou mayest go in peace, and Yahweh will be with you. And he hath been with my father. So Jonathan was going to see what was going on, see if he was going to be amicable towards David. I don't have this in the slides, but the plan was devised that Jonathan would go and see if his father was going to be angry at David, if he was, which he was on the second day. So it was a three-day feast, and the first day, Saul wasn't too disturbed. He thought that maybe he was unclean or something. The second day, he was a little upset. You know, why is David not here? Jonathan made up the story that he had gone away to do some sort of sacrifice. Well, Saul was very exasperated about this and got really angry at his son. Actually called him an illegitimate child and just gave some really bad insults at this point. Jonathan Jonathan did stick with David. He did not betray his friend. But I think this is such a critical moment for Jonathan, this moment, because here he had his father insulting him, calling him these horrible names, and, you know, no one really wants to displease their parents. They want to, you know, make them happy. Jonathan could, at this point, have betrayed David. Their plan was to go to this one specified location, and Jonathan was supposed to shoot three arrows And he was supposed to say the arrows are on this side, which meant that everything was fine. Or if he shot the arrows and said the arrows are beyond thee, that means it's bad. So Jonathan knew where David was. He could have at this moment told his father, okay, look, I'm sorry. I'm going to tell you where David is. I'm sorry that I went against you. And David probably would have been murdered because of that. But he did not. He knew. Another thing to consider, too, is that Jonathan knew that David was going to be king. It says in 1 Samuel 20, verse 31, Saul says that he realizes that Jonathan is not going to be the king, and David is supposed to be king. So these are the things that are going through Jonathan's mind of, you know, not wanting to displease his father, realizing that he is not going to be king. But Jonathan still stayed true. He had the choice of betraying his friend or doing what was right. Jonathan was loyal to David. He went and warned David because of this thing, and he did what was right. He could have betrayed David, but he didn't. Now, you may ask yourself, did he do what was right? Did he do the right thing by going against his father? Whenever I was putting this together, it reminded me of what our forefathers did in this country with the Declaration of Independence. You know, when they wrote that, they were under a tyrannical government. Everyone's kind of wondering why they went against them, against Britain. And they wrote it because they realized that doing what the king was having them do was actually wrong. And they had to do what they did because there was a higher power, a higher greatness of why they had to do it. Same thing of what Jonathan had. Even though he was going against what his father wanted him to do, he knew that his heavenly father had something greater that he wanted him to do. And I think that's a tough choice that sometimes people have to make. But you always have to remember that Yahweh obviously has to come first. And Jonathan realized that he had to do what was right no matter what. Second example is the example of loyalty to his father. 1 Samuel 31, the Israelite army was again at war with the Philistines. In 1 Samuel 31, verse 1 to 4, it says, "Now the Philistines fought against Israel, and the men of Israel fled from before the Philistines, and fell down slain in Mount Gilboa. And the Philistines fought hard upon Saul and upon his sons. And the Philistines slew Jonathan and Abinadab and Malchushua and Saul's sons. And the battle went sore against Saul, and the archers hit him, and he was sore wounded of the archers. Then said Saul unto his armor-bearer, Draw thy sword, and thrust me through therewith, lest these uncircumcised come and thrust me through and abuse me. But his armor-bearer would not, for he was sore afraid. Therefore Saul took a sword and fell upon it." This is a really sad event in the Bible. It's probably one of the saddest that I can think of. Just a tragedy of an entire family, the Israelite army being defeated against the Philistines. Here we see Jonathan die with his family and his father. One thing that strikes me most about this situation is that Jonathan could have chosen to go with David. He could have fled with him. He could have actually gone with him several times. He could have gone with him whenever he warned him that first time. There was another instance where he had warned David that his father was close and could have gone with him then. There are many instances where he could have stayed with David instead of going with his father instead. So wondering why he did this. You know, he knew that he wasn't going to be the successor of the throne. He knew that his father was doing wrong. So why did he choose this? And I believe it's because, you know, he loved his father, and he honored him, and he loved his family too. And also, you know, he was kind of like almost the conscience of the king. He was the one of reason. I think he realized that even though he knew his father was doing wrong, he had a moral duty to stay with his father, to do what was right. Because his father did have some challenges and he had to get through them. But he knew that if he did not stay with his father, things could have gotten worse. Jonathan was really the kind of guy that was loyal to everybody. He was loyal to those who deserved it and maybe those who didn't deserve it quite as much. He was true to what he believed. He knew what needed to be done. And even though it cost him his life, it's something that I believe will always be something that he'll be remembered as. So what are some lessons that we can glean from Jonathan in his life? The first one, I believe, is loyalty must have a direction. You must have some sort of compass that's constantly guiding you. to know where you're supposed to be going, to know what you're supposed to be loyal to. You know, look at yourself. You know, what is important to you? What guides your life? You know, is it Yahweh or is it something else? Does the world guide our direction? Or does the Bible guide our direction? I believe that Jonathan, you know, he knew the lessons that Yahweh had taught him, the law, and what was right and what was wrong. And he didn't let, you know, what everybody else was doing sway him to know where he was supposed to go. He saw what was needed to be done, what Yahweh wanted him to do, and that was his direction. And he was not swayed by it. Another lesson from Jonathan I think we can learn is that loyalty does have benefits. Friendship with David was probably one of the greatest friendships ever recorded, I feel, in my mind. In Proverbs 18, verse 24, it says, "A man that hath friends must show himself friendly, and there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother." You know, there are some friends out there that are really just closer than family. You know, family is great, but it's not all about bloodlines that tie people together. Sometimes it's an event. Like you hear about these band of brothers, like in World War II, these guys that fought together, that went through this harder ordeal and, you know, probably were closer to each other than their own blood family just because of what they went through. Jonathan and David had the same relationship. They went through difficult situations and they stayed true to each other. It says in 1 Samuel 18 that their souls were knit together. You know, look at yourself in your life. Do you share the same loyalty and friendship to Yahweh? Do you feel the same kinship and connection to him and to each other? Do you look to others' needs before your own? I think Jonathan is a great example of this. He could have looked at what he wanted. He could have thought that maybe it would have been better if he had the kingship and thought about all the great things he could have done if he was king or wanting to seek his own advantage. But he looked to his own friend's needs first. Of course, he wanted to have things himself, but he looked first to his friend. He looked first to what was required of him first before he actually looked to his own needs first. Another lesson from Jonathan is that loyalty does have costs. Loyalty for Jonathan costs his life. Now, that may not be the case for us, but with everything you get, there's always going to be a cost for it. But Jonathan will always be remembered for what he did. David had spoken this passage after Jonathan and Saul's death in 2 Samuel 1, verse 23 and 25 and 27. "Saul and Jonathan were lovely and pleasant in their lives." Now, this is after he found out that they had died. And he said this amazing song, I guess you would call it. "They were lovely and pleasant in their lives, and in their death they were not divided. They were swifter than eagles, and they were stronger than lions. How are the mighty fallen in the midst of the battle? O Jonathan, thou wast slain in thine high places. I am distressed for thee. My brother Jonathan, very pleasant hast thou been to me. Thy love to me was wonderful, passing the love of women. How are the mighty fallen, and the weapons of war perished?" You know, sadly, all of us will eventually die. We'll all have to leave this world. But how would you like to have this said of you? How would you like to have this eulogy said to you at your funeral? So look at yourself and your life. Are you willing to pay the cost for loyalty? To be faithful to others whenever it may be inconvenient for you? To do what is right, no matter what the cost? And eventually actually be remembered as Jonathan was. It may not seem easy at the moment, but always looking at the long term, seeing how you would like to be remembered whenever you pass. You know, are each one of us willing to do this, to do what it takes to be loyal to our beliefs, to be loyal to Yahweh, to be loyal to and true to our loved ones? You know, things, you look at the world around us and the turmoil, and you never know if the end is going to come, if it's, you know, the end is near. And, you know, whenever you go through this type of situations, we always have to kind of band together when those bad things happen to know that there's someone there that has your back. I think as things get worse, I think loyalty to others is going to be a very key attribute that everyone's going to want to have, to have someone they'll be able to trust. So in conclusion, Jonathan, I don't know if anyone's ever familiar with the Lord of the Rings series, but Jonathan reminds me of a Samwise Gamgee type character. He stayed with Frodo despite the challenges that happened. Frodo had to deal with his things, but Samwise was always kind of with him. He was a faithful friend at all times. And I think that, in my mind, loyalty is such a great attribute to have. You know, when you see it in someone, you're drawn to that. You know that that's someone that you want to be with. You know that's something that you want to be. You look at all the great movies. You see all the great heroes and the heroines and who they are. And the one thing that really strikes they all have in common is, you know, loyalty. Loyalty to the cause, loyalty to people, loyalty to something. It's a direction, it's a guide. And I think that's something we all want to have. And I hope that through Jonathan's example, we can see its value. We can see the value that loyalty has. And I hope that each one of us will want to become more like Jonathan, to become a person of devotion, a person who loves loyalty, and a person who desires to be more of character. And may Yahweh bless you.